You team, you guys can grab a seat. Why don't you welcome and say hi to two people in your general vicinity? Say hi, my name is, insert your name there and not someone else's name because that'll be slightly odd and weird. It is great that you are here. I'm going to come down a bit. I've decided I'm coming into here. And we can leave that there though. That way people can see my succulents. Who has a succulent at home? No? This is my succulent. Its name's Errol. And Errol, yeah, I named my succulent. My succulent, yeah. Oh, Errol, I would do anything just to be like you. Yeah, just like a succulent. We'll get onto that later. But that's my succulent, Errol. And Errol is really glad to be here tonight. It's the first time Errol's been in church. So how about we welcome Errol? Yeah, come on. Yeah, something for everyone at Energizer Church, even for plants. We're reaching out and branching into new ideas. Anyway, so you guys are really, really, really lucky tonight. And you might be thinking to yourself, why am I lucky? Because I'm going to be sharing a story I don't think that I've ever shared at an Energizer service, ever. I've shared it in community with believers from our church at times, but I think this is the first time I've ever shared this story from the pulpit, and you need to brace yourselves, because this is one of the funniest stories that has ever occurred in Energizer folklore history. Dave already knows what it is. He's starting to giggle. So, this message is called In Christ or In Costume? In Christ or In Costume? So, we have a beloved person in our church. Her name's Jemima. Give it up for Jemima. She knows what's coming. She's pitied. So about 10, 11 years ago, when I first started coming to church, there was a youth pastor at our church. Her name was Mel Docker. And Mel Docker shared a house with Jemima Priest, and they had another friend named Kayla. And the three of them shared this house together. And in quite common youth culture or youth ministry culture, there happened to be these pranks that were played on one another. Because, you know, that's what happens in youth ministry teams at times. Sometimes they like to play pranks because it amuses people and it creates good stories that they can giggle about later. If you haven't done that before, I had that happen to you before, you can ask Jemima what some good ones are and she can fill in some details and that'll be handy. But the pranks were escalating and everyone was trying to one-up one another. So I was just like, you know, trying to do this, glad wrap someone's car, do this, I'm trying to think of something else that's quite prank-like, I don't know, but, you know, just doing all these funny little things like that. And, you know how amazing it is when you get up in the morning and your car's completely glad wrapped? It's like, yay, thank you. I'm so glad my youth ministry loves me. They wrapped up a present for me. It's a brand new car. No, it's your car, just wrapped in glad wrap. So they were doing one-upmanship on one another. Now, Jemima is just a wonderful human and so trusting and so loving, and that's why we love her so much. But what happened was they were doing these one-up sort of pranks, and Kayla, her heritage is like Ukrainian. Do we have any Ukrainian heritage people no one hears. Okay, so shouldn't offend anyone. That's good. Ukrainian heritage. So Kayla decided it would be a hilarious thing to talk to Mel and go, you know what? We should trick Jemima into believing that I have an auntie called Aunt Slib Slobanowski. Slib Slobanowski. Okay, so Auntie Slib Slobanowski. So over the duration of about 3 to 4 months, they literally did like Inception. Who's seen the movie Inception? Like planting an idea inside a dream so that all of a sudden she thinks it's actually true. And what they did was over the duration of 3 to 4 months, leave notes on the kitchen bench saying, oh, your auntie Slib Slobanowski called and she was just checking to see how this is going. And then they would get like Kayla's mum to call up on the phone and make sure nobody was home apart from Jemima. So Jemima would have to answer the phone and Kayla's mum would then speak in Ukrainian over the phone just to try to continue to make this reality or this idea that Aunt Slobanowski speaking in tongues Zanowski was a real person. So over the duration of 3 to 4 months, at first, Jemima, what were some of the things that you said at first? when Slib Slobanovsky was, this idea, this... No, because that's not in Jemima's nature nature to do that. But she was like skeptical and sort of thinking, "Oh, that's funny. Oh, yeah, oh, it's Slip Slobanovsky, whatever." But they built it up over the duration of around 3 to 4 months, and then they said, "Oh, she's actually coming from Ukraine to go visit the Gold Coast." And then from the Gold Coast, all of a sudden they get another phone call, and it's like, she's actually got a ticket to fly down to Tasmania and come and have dinner with us. She wants to come and connect with family and wants to visit us at our house in Rokeby. No, was it in Warrane? In Warrane. Aunt Slib Slobanovsky is coming all the way from Ukraine to Warrane. How exciting. So this perception had been built up. And before I get into the next part, it's incredible how sometimes as Christians we can start to believe lies. Lies that the enemy have spoken over us about how we're not good enough, how you're never going to see change in this area of your life, how that's just the way it's going to be, little darling. You'll go riding. No, sorry. Sometimes we can start to believe these false lies that the enemy dishes up, and we take them in believing that that's just how it is. But that's not how it has to be. Let me continue on the story. So, Mel and Kayla, they'd all of a sudden had a conundrum now, because Aunt Slip Slobanovsky is actually coming for dinner. But Aunt Slip Slobanovsky isn't real. Does anyone see how that's a problem? How do you bring someone to dinner if they're not real? It's like leaving a chair for the Holy Spirit at your table. But the Holy Spirit's real, so it's a bit different. But, it would be a bit weird. If someone didn't know the Holy Spirit had been invited to your dinner and there was a spare chair there, they would think that, someone didn't turn up. So there's a problem. A really big problem. They needed to find someone to fill the void of Aunt Slip Slobanovsky. Now, recently I had been saved. Barely saved. The Bible talks about men shouldn't dress up in women's clothing. I didn't know this at that time, so I wouldn't do that now because I'm a more mature follower of Jesus Christ. I just do it in private instead of public now. But they decided to ask me if I wanted to be Aunt Slim Slobanovsky. And I was just like, awesome. I'm up for it. See, I honestly think I was actually meant to be an actor and I actually missed my real calling. This is a sort of like my gap filler currently. So anyway, but the problem is I am male. And I know, that's sort of, I don't identify as a woman. So we had to try to cover up and put a costume on. So what we ended up doing was I was wearing gumboots. Yep, gumboots. A giant dress, but underneath the dress I was wearing, I think it was, I didn't even know they made them, but like double F bras. It was massive with like, pillows under him, and I then had this like Jemima's about to get flashbacks. I had like this thing over my face like this, so all you could see was my eyes. So you couldn't see anything else. And what ended up happening was I ended up coming around and Jemima wasn't home yet, so I chatted to Kayla and chatted to Mel, and honestly, we thought at best Jemima would realize in about maybe 1 minute. 1 minute. That it was actually Dan Pastor dressed as an overweight Muslim woman. I got no idea. I'm sitting there in a chair. I'm sitting there in a chair. And Jemima comes home and, tidies up, does what she needs to do. And then Kayla and Mel are cooking. So they're like, oh, Jemima. You need to go into the lounge room and make Auntie Slip Slobanovsky feel welcome. So Jemima, being the sweet-hearted, caring, considerate, compassionate, generous woman of God that has such an anointing on her life, decided, she'd come out and she started talking to me. She was like, oh, how was the Gold Coast?
Oh, skito da shuta mama sero mo bakar.
So mama's like, what did she say? And Kayla's like, she said it was really good. Oh, okay. And then she said, what's it like in Ukraine?
Oh, skuta da mazikiro. Rappa to me kito shamara. Lemma bada zero mo gavatatera.
Kayla, what did she say? She said she really likes it in Ukraine. The weather's a bit colder, but it's really nice. And 5 minutes passed. Jemima starts showing me photos of a baby photos. So we're looking through photos and Jemima's like, this is where we went down to the shack and here's me swimming around in the water. And I'm like, oh, school. What did she say, Kayla? Oh, that's a beautiful photo. You look like a really happy kid. And just making up stuff. So like 30 minutes have passed. And Jemima, being the amazing, compassionate, considerate, kind, generous, warm-hearted person, went into the kitchen a couple of times to say to Mel and Kayla, hey, look, I know she's different. I know she's just a bit odd and a bit awkward, but she's a real person. You can't be laughing like you are like that. She has feelings. She has feelings. And Mel's like, yes, I'm so sorry. I just can't help it. Her tone of voice is making me laugh. I can't help it. So Jemima comes back out, and we chat for about another 20 to 30 minutes, just continuing to look through things. And now we have another problem. We've somehow pulled up for an hour that Aunt Lib Slobanowski is a real person. We seriously thought it would take about 1 minute, and then we'd be like, oh yeah, this is funny. What a great prank. Ha ha, we built this up. But dinner's cooked. What do you do when you're wearing a makeshift burqa that isn't even real to eat dinner? So anyway, so I sort of pull Kayla aside and I say to her, hey, let me say grace. So we're sitting around the table. I tell you what, that roast chicken smelled pretty good. Roast chicken, center of the table. The veggies there, Mel on one side, Jemima on one side, Kayla on one side. Hey, let's hold hands. I didn't say it like that. I went, oskura mare. Put my hands out like, let's hold hands or something. So, holding hands all together. Kayla says, oh, my auntie Slip Slobanowski wants to say grace. Oh, yes, wait. So, in one hand, I have Mel's hand, which is like literally shaking with laughter. Just cannot believe that this has been pulled off for over an hour. This is like better than what she could have dreamed in her wildest dreams. Like that, the scripture in Ephesians 3:20 was actually coming to reality. This is, oh my gosh, I cannot believe it. In the other hand, Jemima's hand, all sweet and serious, holding gently. She was like, just loving and kind and caring.
Skudama, shuta tama sera. Kama mama shete ala mato tokaya. Shurama negero nwanamara. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's eat. And all of a sudden, Mills is like in hysterics. And Jemima just all of a sudden eyes open. Blink a couple of times. Then hand sort of starts to shake. Starts to retract and starts to just say, no. No, 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 no. And she ran out the front door, up the street, and sat on the roundabout where she may or may not have been in the fetal position rocking herself. And I sat and ate some really good roast chicken. It was really, really tasty. It was a delicious meal, one of the best roast chickens I've ever had. Thank you, Mel Docker and Kayla Bentley, for cooking up that meal. Now, like I said, sometimes we can be so convinced about lies that creep into our world that they actually hold a place of power over us. And I want to encourage you, Jesus doesn't want you to be in that place. But I want to talk about the difference between being in Christ or in costume. And I've been reading through Genesis 27, and this is where this hysterical story has a bit of, just a small slither of connection into the Bible. It was more for my amusement than anything. I just felt like it was time to share it. But in Genesis 27, we read this incredible story of Isaac and his brother Esau and their father, Jacob. And Isaac actually dresses up, putting on something that probably, it was actually like skin, puts it over himself with all the hair on it. And his father, it says in the word of God that his father's eyesight had gone really, like he couldn't really see very far. It was all like blurry and everything. So he comes to him and steals Esau's blessing. He steals Esau's blessing dressed in costume of his brother. So the blessing that was actually meant to be for Esau, Isaac stole. You know, for those who don't realize in the word of God, Isaac's name actually means trickster. It was like he was named that from the beginning of his life. And he fulfilled that multiple times in his life. You know, the first thing he stole from his brother was his brother's birthright. Tricked him into giving it to him for a bowl of stew. Esau gave something that was eternal for something temporary. I tell you what, too many times, Christians, we can do that. We can trade eternal things for temporary things. Something that satisfies us in that moment rather than actually consuming and taking in what is going to satisfy our soul and the eternal spirit man, woman that is in us. But what I want to say is you don't have to dress up to steal blessing from God. That's where I'm linking this. So I'm not looking about the trickster in a way, but I want to encourage you that sometimes we feel like we've got to put on something to come into God's presence. If I just look right in worship, if I put my hands up at the right moment in the song, that's when God will bless me. That's when God will love me. If I turn up to the right connect group at the right time, if I jump on the right team, if I do this, if I do that, if the motivation is not based from a place of I know that I'm a son and daughter of God, but instead it's striving to receive from God through works, you're not going to receive the blessing. I tell you what, you don't need to put on and pretend to be anyone else. You don't need to put on and pretend to be perfect to receive blessing from God. It says this in Ephesians 1. And as I read this, this is Ephesians 1, verses 1 all the way through to about verses 14. I want you to take note of how many times it says in Christ or in Him. So can you guys help count with me? You've all done primary school. Some of you are currently doing that. All right, sweet. Let's see how many times it's in here. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise for spiritual blessings in Christ. Number two. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Three. For He chose us in Him, four, before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. Five. In His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. You could almost claim that as one. We will. No, we're not going to do that. Now no service leader wants to use this mic ever again. In accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves, in Him. In Him, that's another one, so there's seven, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made us known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. What are we up to now? 8. We're up to 8. Well done. Someone missed one. We're up to 8. This is verse 10 now. To be put into effect when the time reaches their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him, verse 11, that's 9, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, up to now, that's 10, might be for praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ, 11, when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed. You were marked in him, 12, with a seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. How incredible is that? In 14 verses of scripture, 12 times we hear in Christ, in him, in Christ, in him, in Christ, in him. I want to encourage you. It's a real simple message tonight. I'm not going to preach for a long time. A lot of us, for our next, it's just choosing to continue to be in him. Simple. It's not trying to be this, not trying to be that, not trying to do this. It's not trying to do that. It's just being in Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that therefore anyone in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. I want to encourage you all through that passage of scripture that we looked at in Ephesians. It talks about how we receive that inheritance. We don't have to put on anything, pretend to be anything to receive the blessings in Christ. All we have to do is abide in him. Receive freely the grace that is given to us through Jesus Christ. Are we in costume or are we in Christ? I think that's a question we need to ask ourselves. We need to spend time like King David and say, search my heart, O God. Search me. Search out if there's any sin, iniquity in me. Am I doing stuff in costume or am I doing it in Christ? Am I putting on something, trying to present and put a front on in such a way that people will think that God is blessing me and God is on me? Or I'm actually going to choose to do the things under the surface that we've been looking at as a church. Pressing in, reading his word. Pressing in with praise, pressing in with prayer, pressing in worship. Knowing that it's not in performance that we receive inheritance, it's in being in him that we will see the fruit in our lives and through our lives. In him you are blessed. In him you find peace. In him you find acceptance. In him you find joy. In Jesus you find breakthrough. In Jesus you find healing. In Jesus. You know, Jesus taught this incredible, used this incredible analogy, and that's where my succulent Errol comes into play. Everyone say, welcome back, Errol. That doesn't really, does that work? There you go. You can see Errol. Actually, I'm going to spin Errol around. That way you can see Errol's beautiful little flower. Isn't that pretty? That's a very pretty flower. I was told this is like a baby pig's ear before. Pig's face. Pig's ear, pig's face, pig's, whatever. Make sure you have some pork on your fork. That's all I'm saying. But this is my succulent. And Jesus taught this incredible, he used this incredible analogy when he was chatting to his disciples, and he said this in John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. Sorry, with every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So that it will that it will be even more fruitful. Sorry, I'm tongue-tying myself. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me. Maybe that's a word here for someone. Maybe for someone here, you feel like you need to get your life all together before Jesus will accept you. Maybe you feel like, but if everyone else in the room knew the dumb thing that I said, if everyone else in the room knew that dumb thing I did, not 20 years ago, but 2 weeks ago. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken. And if God has called you righteous, who are you to call yourself unrighteous? If God has called you to say that you are not condemned, who are you to self-condemn? It must remain. No branch can bear fruit by itself. No arrow can produce a flower in itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. You see this beautiful flower I have here? This beautiful flower here. It's now not abiding in the plant. Actually, I ripped out the plant out of the soil. That's why it's so important. This is in my notes. But to make sure your roots grow down deep. Thanks, Errol. That wasn't in my sermon, but thank you. I appreciate that. You were a good sacrifice. You know, the Bible talks about having your roots grow down deep. And if you don't grow down your roots deep and you stay remaining in a little pot like this, someone can just rip you out. And I want to encourage you, make sure you're going deeper in God this year. But what I was actually going to use Errol as an analogy, who's now dead, was the fact that, you know, when I break off this flower, as soon as I break it away from what's bringing it life, it starts to die. And that is the same with our Christian faith. As soon as we try to break away our existence from the one who brings life, we start to die. Our faith starts to dwindle. Our joy starts to shrink back. Our security in Him starts to become less and less and less. Until all of a sudden, the little fears and the stresses and the waves of life that start washing our way, they start to make an impact. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. Too, I've been mowing my lawn in the hot sun a few times, and it's amazing just how quickly that grass goes from being green to going to a disgusting sort of browny color by the end of the day if you mow it in the morning. It doesn't take long to actually have our spiritual man, the spiritual person inside of us fade away and wither under the heat, under the scrutiny, under the hardship of what the world will bring your way each day. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down their life for one's friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master's business is. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. I'm going to try to put Errol back in the soil. There you go. Good boy. The resurrecting power of Christ right there. You know, when you've come into a place of spiritual separation from Jesus, when you're no longer abiding in him, but you're just abiding in your own ability, abiding in your own the structures that you have in place around you that are sort of helping you go through the motions. It's never too late to actually come back to God and say sorry. Say, God, I'm sorry for trying to do this in my own strength. I'm sorry for trying to figure it out on my own. I'm sorry for trying to live my own life in separation from you. Because God is a God who loves us so much. He loves you, each and every single one of us. He loves you. He loves you so much. And as Pastor Dave shared it this morning in Romans 5:8, even whilst we were still sinners, even when we were separated, he died for us because he loved us that much. The second thing, so we come to him and just say sorry and repent, turn from that and actually choose to be grafted back in. You know, the incredible thing is that even though it probably doesn't help that I've ripped Errol out of the ground, but a really, really good, actually, and because I like savaged this, it might be a bit harder, but we've in a vineyard, like I used to work in a vineyard a bunch of years ago. If you cut off a vine, you can actually graft it back in if you give it to someone that knows how to. And you know, in the same way, it doesn't matter how munted and torn and disconnected you might feel or think you might be, if you actually bring it to the master gardener, he can actually graft you back in. He doesn't desire you to be like this little pig's face, ear, tail, flower and die. He wants to see you flourish. He wants to see you bear much fruit. He wants to see you abiding in him, knowing that you are loved, knowing that you are a son, knowing that you are a daughter, that it's not in the striving of works that you achieve affirmation from God, but it's just in the abiding in him that you receive affirmation. So abide in him. Abide in him. How do we do that? It's just with a heart that's clean and coming to God and saying, Lord, I sincerely worship you. I'm reading my word and I'm sincerely desiring to live out what I'm going to read today. It's in that sincerity of life, actually coming to these things with not an alternate motive or an agenda, but going, I'm going to sincerely seek God and trust him. When he says this, I'm going to trust him and step out on it. So say sorry, repent, abide in him. And the final thing, just loving one another. I'll tell you what, it can be very hard to love one another at times. Was that you laughing, Alex? Yeah. Here you go, have an arrow. You know, especially if someone comes along and absolutely rips us out of the ground, it's hard to love them. But Christ asks us to love one another. Tell you what, there's something insanely powerful about being able to forgive. You know, what did Jesus say whilst he was up on the cross being crucified? Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they're doing. You know, most times that you get upset and offended by someone else, I'd probably say 90% of the time the person didn't actually mean to do it. And then we can walk around for days, weeks, thinking up that this person is actually a bitter, spiteful, hateful person. That Dan was dressed up as Auntie Slib Slobinowski because he really didn't like Jemima and he wanted to cause emotional and psychological problems for her for years to come. Like he's just a terrible human being who Jesus shouldn't even save if he confessed. Sometimes all of a sudden we can get so riled up. But the key to bringing freedom into that area of life that is like that is forgiveness. I want to encourage you. I feel like maybe there's someone here today. And your next isn't the step you're going to take. Your next is actually the decision inside to honestly forgive someone. And that unforgiveness is holding you back from actually taking a hold of the things that God has for you. So let me encourage you, if that is you, if that is speaking to you, and I know that speaking to someone, if that word is speaking to you, don't just be aware of it, act on it. Let me encourage you to abide in Christ. You don't need to try to put on a costume to receive God's blessing for your life. I'm going to ask Jessica to come up and the team to come up. Because as we read right at the very start in Ephesians, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. You are blessed when you are in Christ. So I'm going to ask you a question right now. I'm going to ask everyone to close their eyes, just so you can have a moment of reflection. So you can stop and think to yourself, am I in Christ currently? Or am I in separation from Christ currently? Maybe you're around church, you're aware of who Christ is, but you're not actually in Christ. The way to get in with Christ is simple. It's confession, repentance, and sincerely believing in your heart, sincerely asking with your mouth, saying, God, I thank you so much that you love me. God, I receive your grace. God, forgive me of my sins. And from this day forward, I want to abide in you and follow you. I ask that you would lead me and guide me. And a prayer like that, I know it sounds so simple, faith. That's what faith is. It can be the beginning of either restoring your relationship with Christ or the beginning of your relationship in Christ. I tell you what, it's the best decision you can ever make. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, if you know in your heart that your life is not currently in Christ, I would love to lead you in a prayer. But what I want to ask you to do is to own it. So if that is you, I just want you to give me a wave, just to put your hand up and say, Dan, I need to pray this prayer. I need to pray this prayer. I don't want it to be just someone else's prayer, but this is for me. I believe that that step of faith, that action of faith, will help you then pray that prayer sincerely so that you can come into relationship with Christ. Does anyone need to do that here today? Jesus loves you, friend. Jesus loves you so much. He gave his life for you. Why don't you just let him in? Does anyone need to do that here today? So we give opportunity for this every single week, because I've got no idea where you're at, if your life is in Christ or outside of him. And that's why we always give a good minute or so to actually enable people to have that opportunity to respond. Because it would sicken me if we just rushed through this. Does anyone need to do that here tonight? Cool. Let me pray for you. God, thank you so much for this incredible group of people that are here tonight. And Lord, we thank you so much that we don't need to try to strive and put on a costume to receive blessings from you. All we have to do is be in Christ, and we have access to every spiritual blessing. So Lord, I ask for each and every single person here, from the front to the back, from the youngest to the oldest, that you would help show them how to walk in your ways, how to walk in your unforced rhythms of grace, that you would walk with them, that you would guide their steps, that you would help them guard their hearts from other things that would try to creep in, and instead you would enable them to have a heart that is just so overjoyed, so hungry, so passionate about you, Jesus, devoted to you, Jesus. God, we thank you that we don't need to strive. We just need to abide. And I ask that each of us would abide in your love this week. And the overflow of that would be love for others. The overflow of that would be love for others. We can't truly abide in you if we're not loving others. So help us to just rest in you, to find security in you, to find identity in you, to abide in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, we have an opportunity to worship Jesus now before we close this service. Why don't we worship him with just hearts overflowing with gratitude and thankfulness? Thanks, James.